Sometimes a young person will aspire to be a professional athlete in football, basketball, baseball, or some such famous athlete. Rarely a person gets to that level of competition, but I am thinking this morning about baseball, and in the spring we play baseball, and I'm a New York Yankee fan myself. And I remember rooting for the Yankees back in the 1990s and early 2000s, and they had a championship team. That team went to the World Series more than once. And I remember that what was the key to that team and the championship caliber of that team was a name given to a small group of players on that team. The name was called the Core Four. The Core Four. The Core Four are former New York Yankee baseball players by the name of Derek Jeter, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, and Mariano Rivera. Each member of the Core Four was a key contributor to the Yankees in the late 1990s and early 2000s dynasty that won four World Series championships in 5 years. All four players were still on the Yankees' active roster in 2009 when the team won the 2009 World Series, an amazing fifth one involving again the Core Four. But I want to say God likewise always works through a core remnant of people to get his work done. He uses that core group of people, the remnant, to spark a greater movement of his grace and great spiritual victories in an area or in a nation or in the world. God told the man in the Old Testament, Elijah, when the people had left God and were worshiping Baal and had a wicked king and queen, he said to Elijah, "You're not the only one left, Elijah. I have 7,000 that are part of my core remnant that have not bowed down to Baal. I've got them. I'm going to work through them, Elijah." The remnant was what God used. In the days of the judges, which we're looking at this morning, when the Midianites came upon the Israelites like hordes of grasshoppers, the Israelites had turned away from God, and God allowed the enemy to come in and take them captive. And when they tried to raise crops and harvest the crops, the Midianites would come and take them away. They would take away everything from Israel. So they were very poor and very needy and under captivity. And they dominated them so that nobody challenged their authority. But when that happened, God raised up one man. And that one man, Gideon, was given a remnant of men who were champions to lead them to victory against the Midianites and cause the Israelites in a greater way to fight against Midian and to defeat them and be delivered from captivity. This man was a humble servant of God, and the men that worked with him were core people that were part of this championship core. And I want to preach to you this morning on how you could be part of a championship core. How you could be part of a championship core. Would you please turn to Judges, right after Joshua. Joshua, Judges, chapter 7. And I want to talk to you about how you can be part of the championship core in our day. Whether you be a man or a woman, young or old, God says how you can be part. And I want you to look at verse 1. It says there in verse 1, speaking of Gideon, "Then Jerubbaal," who is Gideon, "and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley." I want you to notice, first of all, that you could be part of God's championship core by your commitment to strengthen God's man. You see, God's man here was called Jerubbaal. And his name was Gideon, but he was called Jerubbaal. Why was he called Jerubbaal? He was called Jerubbaal because he attacked Baal. He went up against Baal. You see, God wants us to step out. All we need for evil to win out is for good men to do nothing, for good men to say nothing, to hear no evil, speak no evil, just live your life, get your money, just stay low in your profile. God said to Gideon, I have chosen you, Gideon, and I want you to step out, and I want you to contend with Baal. And Gideon contended with Baal. You know, we've got altars all over the United States that are lifted up to ungodly people and to Satan worship. And there was a big image to Satan raised up in a city in the United States recently. And God spoke to a man's heart and said, I want you to tear down that image of Satan. It's too much. I want you to deal with it. The man went out and he tore down the statue of Satan. He walked into the police station and he said, I want you to know I've just destroyed the property, Satan, and I tore it down. And he was found guilty of a misdemeanor. And God used that testimony of that man who stood up, and God did something special in his life to challenge the image of Satan. I want you to know that Gideon, God spoke to him. And the Midianites were ruling over the Israelites, and God spoke to him, and he said, Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And Gideon said, well, if you be with us, Lord, then why don't we see the miracles that our fathers saw, like when they crossed the Red Sea? Why are not great things happening? If you're with us, Lord, why not? Why are the Midianites ruling over us and we don't have any victories over them if you're with us? And you know what? Gideon needed to be reminded. The Lord didn't say, I'm with Israel. He was chastening Israel. They were disobeying him. They were worshiping a false god. But he said, I am with you, Gideon. In other words, there's something you can do. Do you know what? This morning, God in one is a majority. If you stand with God, you have all that you need. We have a young man here, he used to carry his Bible to public school, and he stood up, and God blessed that testimony, and he stood up to the teacher, and now he's in our Christian school. Thank God for that. God in one is a majority. God has something you can do that you can stand up for him. And he says, when you do that, I will be with you. When you witness for Jesus Christ, I will be with you. But I'm saying you can be part of a championship corps by your commitment to stand up for God and to stand with God's man who is standing up for God. You know, our country, like the Israelites, has been in captivity. I think of Dwight David Eisenhower, January 17, 1961. He was giving his farewell televised address to the American people. And he said, we are to be fearful of a military-industrial complex that is ruling over the United States and will rule over the United States. And he warned the next president to watch out for that. That next president was John F. Kennedy. And when he became president, he began to go against the military-industrial complex. One of the things he did, he printed money off of their banking system, and they didn't like that. He printed greenbacks, and they didn't like that. John F. Kennedy did some other things that they did not like. And so now it's on the record and been witnessed that the CIA was involved in assassinating John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The very military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned about in 1961 on a televised speech. And that has gone on since then, and so that the presidents of the United States since Kennedy was assassinated have been, to one degree or another, controlled by the deep state, by the military-industrial complex. And the country has been under captivity. Why? Because people have not stood up to it. People have not spoken out against it. And thank God, God has raised up some people that are speaking out against it. And the word is spreading of the enemy and what's going on. Thank God for a president who was elected, the 44th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And he stood up to the military-industrial complex in many ways. And they saw to it that he was not in office anymore. They stole the election from him. They took it away from him. But he didn't quit. He's coming back. He's coming back. Amen. And thank God for that. He's coming back. And by the way, Jesus is coming back. Amen. The devil had him crucified, but Jesus rose from the dead, and he's saving people. He saved me. He saved Kyle, who just sang that song, that he died for a sinner like me. He'll save you if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He'll save you, and you'll be part of his kingdom when he comes back. I'm saying he's coming back. And God is on the throne, and we need men of God and women of God that will stand up and say, I'm going to take a stand for God, I'm going to take a stand for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do what God wants us to do. God raises up people in our country, and we need to support those people and vote for those people and not be afraid to say who I'm voting for. By the way, I'm voting for Donald J. Trump. Why? Because he's anointed by God to bring down the captivity over the United States. Now, listen, my job is not to run for any office. My job is to do my office, which is to lead the church to witness for Jesus Christ and tell people the good news so that they can be saved. And once they get saved, to lead them to get baptized and join the church so that they can go out and tell others, and then train others to do the same thing. That's my job. God raises up people to do that and to lead people to do that. And if I'm doing my job, then other people will join with me. You see, you want to be part of the core group, the championship group. You should strengthen the hands of God's man by clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. It encouraged me a few weeks ago when we had all church soul winning to see a great group of people come out. This Thursday, we're going to have another opportunity to start a new semester. And you can be part of a core group by being there and stepping out in faith and saying, I am here. I want to click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. Thank God for that. And you can be part of a championship core. That's what happened with Gideon here. God said, Gideon, I'm not with Israel as a whole. They've left me. But you, I'm with you. And I want you to go up against Baal and knock down his image. And Gideon did it, you see. And then God said, okay, I'm going to raise up a core group to help you to win against the Midianites. And you can be part of that group by your commitment to stand with and strengthen God's man. Listen, stand with and strengthen God's man, number one. But number two, by your commitment to seek God's glory. Look at verse 2 of Judges 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, see, God says if you're going to be part of God's championship team, you have to be in it for God's glory. You're not to be in it so that people will look to you and put you as number one. No, you need to want God to be number one. God said to Gideon, look, Gideon, I don't want you to have a huge army because Israel will brag about it and say that Israel got the victory. God wants it so that he allows opposition to overcome us. I mentioned Donald Trump being the president, and you notice that the deep state swallowed up his presidency, took it from him, and defeated him. And so our hope is not in numbers of man. Our hope is not in the polls. Our hope is in God. And sometimes God will allow you to go through weakness and put you into a small place so that you will look to God alone to raise up the deliverance and to trust in God. I remember our first pastor, he used to say, I want God to do in Scranton something that cannot be humanly explained in terms of a person, his intelligence, his knowledge, his strength, or anything else about a person. It's got to go to God. And the glory has to go to God. And so today, if you want to be part of God's championship core, you need to be somebody committed to seek God to be glorified and Him to be lifted up. And that's exactly what God said here. And I have found out a lot of times in the Church of Jesus Christ, and this is especially true of men, that men do not rise to championship level because of one word. You know what that word is? Pride. Amen. Pride. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Listen, the United States of America may have a powerful military, but we don't need to have pride in our military. We need to trust in God. In God we trust. And God is the one that makes America great, beloved. George Washington, the first president, fought the greatest power of that time, a superpower, the British Empire. He did not have the guns they had. He did not have the army they had. You know, God sent in the War of 1812 F-5 tornadoes into Washington when the British Army marched up the stairs of the White House and burned it down and all of that. God sent F-5 tornadoes, and those tornadoes defeated the British Army. It wasn't the great army. No, it's not the greatness of the army. It's the greatness of your God. And we need to lift up our God in the name of our God. If you're going to be part of a core championship team, you need to commit to seek God's glory. You need to commit to strengthen God's man. And number three, you need to do that by your commitment to strengthen your faith and forsake your fears. Look at verse 3 of Gideon's story here in Judges 7. It says, now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You see, there was 32,000 people. Oh, they said, we're ready to fight. We're ready to go with God's man. But God said, you can't be prideful. And God said something else, you can't be fearful. You can't be so fearful that you don't have faith in me to give you the victory. And so He told Gideon to tell the people, if you're fearful, if you're afraid to go to battle, you can leave. And two-thirds of the people of the 32,000 left, 22,000 left. It had 10,000 left, but two-thirds left because of fear. You know what? A lot of people are afraid to step out in faith and do what God wants them to do. I think of the Israelite army when Goliath, who was about 10 foot tall, and Goliath was a great champion of the Philistines, he would challenge the Israelites, and they were afraid of the giant. You know, there are people today that are afraid of the giants that challenge this country and won't stand up and speak up for God. We need to do that. I had somebody tell me, they said, well, the people on January 6th that went there to the White House and protested, you know, the election, those people were foolish because they were pawns in the hands. They were pawns in the hands of the deep state. And the deep state, you see, had over 200 assets of the FBI dressed up like Trump supporters, MAGA supporters. They had them there, and they broke down the barricades, and they led the people in. Those people were using the Trump supporters like pawns, and they planned to destroy the MAGA movement and discredit the MAGA movement and put the MAGA people in jail and make everybody afraid to speak up for supporting Donald J. Trump. They hoped to do that. And anybody that was there was a fool to be there and to do that and was playing into the hands of the enemy. And you know what I told that person? You forget that it's not the deep state that runs the chessboard. God runs the chessboard. And if you were there to do a peaceful redress of grievances like Ashley Babbitt, who didn't break any glass and told people don't break glass and was unarmed and shot dead by Byrd, the police officer that shot her dead and murdered her. And her blood says he murdered her. And I'm not afraid to say it. I'm just saying to you today that those people, many of them went because of faith in God and said, my protest may be used by the enemy. My protest may not seem to do any good, but listen to me. God is the ultimate chess player. He will put the deep state in checkmate. He will reestablish the true president of the United States. He's got to do it, you see. But we need faith in God. Have faith in God. Nothing will be impossible to you if you have faith in God. That's my hope. And I am saying to you, that is what Israel lacked when Goliath came up and Saul, who should have led the people to stand up to Goliath, putting his faith in God, though that guy was bigger than Saul and stronger than Saul, he was not bigger than his God. But Saul didn't do that. So you know what God did? He brought in a boy of about 16 years old or thereabouts, a teenager. And that teenager, in obedience to his father, brought supplies to his brothers. And he saw Goliath and he responded and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And he said, I will go and fight against him. And Saul said, you know, how are you going to do it? He said, I took care of my dad's sheep. I trusted in God. When a lion attacked the sheep, I stood up for the sheep and I killed the lion by the strength of God. He said, when a bear came after my dad's sheep, I stood up to the bear and I killed the bear by the strength of God. And he said, that uncircumcised Philistine giant shall be just like the lion and the bear. And that's exactly what happened. You see, God hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His ability hasn't changed to change things. But people need to be his champions. And you can't be part of the championship core if your fear overcomes your faith. You become that championship core if your faith overcomes your fear. And so you have that commitment, you see, to step out in faith. There are some people, they're afraid to give 10% of their income to the Lord in the local church. Because how am I going to live? I had a lady that told me one time, she said, I stopped giving the 10% because I was afraid and God cut my income down by 10%. She said, you talk to me again? I was afraid. God cut my income down again by 10%. Finally, she said, I think I better be afraid not to tithe. I better give the tithe. You can't outgive God. Some made faith promises to help us get a third bus on the road and support the missionaries to march on the gates of hell with the gospel. Don't stop it because of fear. Oh, what'll happen to me? What'll happen to my money? Listen, I'm not trusting Biden's economy. I'm trusting Almighty God. He doesn't change, beloved. I am the Lord. I change not. I do what God wants me to do. And I go out telling people about Jesus Christ because I'm trusting God. And you should do the same by your commitment to strengthen your faith. How do you strengthen your faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have a very big problem and a very small God if you don't listen to the preaching of the Word of God. If you don't read the Bible and pray to God. Feed your faith. And when you feed your faith, you're going to have a great, big, wonderful God. And your problems are going to look very small. And you're going to stay instead of running away from the battle. Like the Israelites did in David's day. And like the Israelites were doing in Gideon's day. and two-thirds left out of 32,000, two-thirds left. Why? Because they were simply fearful. How to be part of God's championship corps? Commit to strengthen God's man. Make a commitment to seek God's glory, that he be glorified. And then by your commitment to strengthen your faith and forsake fear in your life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of sound mind. There's a fourth thing, and that is by your commitment to be sober and vigilant. Let's go to Judges 7, verse 4 through 7. And I'll read in verse 4. It says, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there for thee. I will try for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, "Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites unto thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place." Now he's got 10,000 left out of 32,000. And out of those 10,000, he said, "Okay, I'm going to give a final test. I want them to go down to the water. They're thirsty. They're all thirsty. They need the water. I want them to go down to the water." And he said, "Drink." And so he got the 10,000. They come to the water. And all but 300 of them got on their knees, put their faces down the water and drank like that. Just sucked it up, man. It was good. Just sucked up that water. 300 of them wouldn't go down on their knees like that and bow their head into the water. 300 of them stayed like this. And they put their hand in the water, brought their hand up, lapped like that. Like that. You know what that's a picture of in your life and my life? Staying sober and vigilant. God will not choose you if you suck up the non-medical use of drugs and you take those drugs to get your mind numb to the pain of living in this world. Or you suck in the alcohol and you drink that to numb your mind. Or that you get so involved in the pleasures and problems of this life that they are controlling you. See, to be sober means that nothing intoxicates you and controls you so that you don't have the clarity of mind to know the enemy, to know what God wants you to do. You have to be sober, like these guys were sober. Paul said, "I buffet my body. That I make my body do what I want it to do." I used to go to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. We'd hear good preaching. We'd hear good challenges. And I would take things back to the church. But I remember after the preaching, guys would go out. They'd have dinner at night. And they'd yap it up all night long and get to bed late. And they would do all that. But I said, "Man, I want to go back to my room and I want to pray and I want to seek God. I want to put this into practice." So many Americans, they're all caught up with food and gluttony and the things of this life. So many that come to church just to have fun. And there's nothing wrong with having fun, right, Kyle? We have Sunday school outings and things like that. But they're not there for the work. They're not there for the hard work, certainly. They're there mostly for the fun. And if that's you, fine. You could be part of God's people. But I'm talking, I want to be part of the championship core that's needed in this day. Not just to talk about it, but to be sober. not to have anything that would intoxicate me, to draw me away, and then to be vigilant. And somebody asked me, I think it was Luke Zukowski, our pianist, he asked me, what is vigilant? And I said, have you thought about a vigil, a prayer vigil? To have a vigil means you stay up to pray. And remember, Jesus would get up sometime a great while before day or 6 a.m. just so he could have time in prayer. If he needed that time, how much more do you need it and I need it? To turn off the TV, to turn off the computer, to get into the Word, and to pray to God. That is what's pictured here. Sober and vigilant prayer vigils. Thank God for prayer groups that we have in this church. People that pray and pray down God's blessing upon what's going on here. People that believe in God's glory, that believe in prayer. Are you going to be one of them? That is what is needed today to defeat the deep state. That is what's needed today to defeat the devil and get the gospel out and see lives changed, to be sober and to be vigilant. And so if you're going to be part of God's championship corps, you need to have a commitment to strengthen God's man by clicking around God's man to fulfill the Great Commission, by committing to God's glory, by committing to strengthen your faith and forsake your fear, and then by your commitment to be both sober and vigilant in your life and not let anything keep you away from that. And finally and lastly, by your commitment to shine the gospel light. Let's go to verse 16 of Judges chapter 7, shining the gospel light. And I'll read through verse 18. It says in verse 16 through verse 18, first of all, these words, and he, Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. That's what it says there, verse 16. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them, look upon me, or look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now the first thing I see here when it talks about those 300 men is the man of God, Gideon, didn't just say, I'll preach it, you go out there and do it. No, he led them in doing it. He said, you look on me and you do as I do. I've challenged people in this church. For many years, I have been part of a club that has seen sometime 400, 300, 100 or more led to the Lord. And I've said, I want to challenge you this year, 2024, to be part of a group that you lead at least 100 people to the Lord. Not everybody's at that level, I understand it. But I made the challenge. I've done it. I am doing it. I challenge people to do it. And I'm so glad young people can take up that challenge. I'm glad older people can take up that challenge. Have at least one baptism and 100 people that you led to faith in Jesus Christ. To make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if each one does that? You don't need a great number of people to do that. Each person doing their part, it can have a tremendous impact. And so I have seen men of God make those kind of challenges, and I have made that challenge. But I want you to notice something. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, if you're saved today, if you're born again, Jesus Christ by His Spirit lives inside of your body. Your body is weak. Your body can get old. Your body can get sick. Your body can sin. You can sin through your body if you yield to that sinful desire. And that covers up the light of the gospel, and that keeps you from witnessing and sharing the gospel with people by being cold or tired or so forth. I think we had the coldest night of the year. We had a bunch of people show up. I sent them out into wind and cold. I determined I'm not going to do that. If it's that cold, I'm going to put them where it's warm. And we sent out 7 or 8 teams last Thursday, and they went where it was warm, and many people heard the gospel and prayed to receive Christ. That's what Gideon was saying. He was saying, listen, hold up those pitchers with the light inside, and when I give you the signal, you break the pitcher, and the light will shine in the darkness on every side of the Midianite army, and they will believe they're surrounded by thousands of people. Every one of those 300 would represent 1,000. So you would have like 300,000 that would be a greater army than theirs that they felt was surrounding them. Can you imagine if a core of you would go out on a Thursday night and go out throughout the week and you would give the gospel to people like this group that I'm talking about that took the challenge? They would see the light shining. But you say, oh, I've got a mortal body. I'm too cold. I'm too tired. I'm too weak. I'm too this. I'm too that. That group didn't do that. They took that earthen vessel and they broke it. That was in their left hand. But what was in their right hand? A trumpet. And the Bible says that sounding out a trumpet is like giving the word of God to people. You make it clear to people. And they will hear it, and they will respond to it, and they will get saved. Amen? I was so glad that Brother Jesse and Matt went out to Carbondale. And Jesse, you signed up 3 new people, right? In Carbondale to come and to ride on the bus. What an opportunity. We did it in Oliphant. I signed up a couple new families to come, and they came, and I got to talk to their mother, Megan, Thursday night, gave her the gospel, and Megan prayed to receive Jesus Christ. I don't believe that we're coming to our third great wave of growth since we got the King James Bible. We're in that third great wave of growth. But are you going to be part of that core four? Are you going to be part of that core championship core? Well, then that means that you have to be willing yourself to shine the gospel, to blow the trumpet, to lead people to Jesus Christ, to lead them down the aisle then, to profess their faith in Christ and to get baptized. What would keep you from it? Well, would it be pride? Would it be the fact that you're fearful? Would it be that you can't work around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission? Would it be that you have too many things of this life that are more important than what we're talking about here? What is it? I would challenge you to be part of the championship core that God has and to take your place to stand up for the Lord. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if you've had